Wake Up Call on WTLS continues. Coach Jared Jones is with us as we continue a century of Tallahassee football. Coach, good to see you.
Good morning. Good to have you. I mean, good to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Hey, and as usual, I follow Coach Rose.
Yeah, that's right. He was on. That's right. He was on Friday, and here you are, the next man up.
And I caught part of that, and he sent me a text and asked me, "Did I hear it?" And I said, "Yeah, I heard most of it."
Yeah, it's been fun. Is it kind of going back, and we're getting closer to the most current, I guess, what you call the modern era of football here in the past 20 years, when you've been a part of Tallahassee football in some way for a long time. Go back to when you played.
I started playing in 85 on high school, and then started coaching in 92.
Yeah.
And, had a couple of stints at Oak Mountain and Elmore Counties where I finished, but basically so over the last 35 years, I've been a part of it here, most of it.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long ride, and now you're retired.
Yep. Officially retired in 1st of June, selling mobile homes for Coach Dean now.
What's that like, working with Coach Dean, another former coach himself?
It's good. We reminisce. I told him that Myron Williams interviewed me the other week, and he's like, "Well, I was his basketball coach. Why didn't he interview me?" I'm like, "I don't know. Take that up with him." But it's fun. We have a lot of times. We reminisce a lot, and we still get together. Both of us have places on the lake, so we still hang out. So it's
fun. That's interesting you bring that up with Myron, because he's doing the documentary on Tallahassee in Real Town, and you've been, I guess, a part of just about every one of those things over the years, most of them.
The couple of them with when Coach Lindsay was here, I was at Oak Mountain. But a lot of them I was on the short end of the stick as head coach both times. So, but it was I was part of the first game we played as a player, and several as an assistant. I know I with Coach McCord, I was on that staff when we restarted it the second time we started, and it was always fun.
What do you say about that rivalry over the years, compared to, say, something like Elmore County, which is another rivalry, and you
right.
coached at Elmore County? I mean, is there a comparison there? Is it different? Is it about the same? What do you say?
I'd have to say it's more intense, just because of the more crossovers you got. Like when we started back, when Coach McCord was coach, Carl Stewart was our running back. He had played junior high at Real Town, and Adam Clayton was on that team. He played at Real Town, so it was just a lot more intense for them. And Rusty Smith came and played later, and they had a couple of players that had been at Tallahassee, so you had a lot more of a family rivalry. I don't say it's a family friendly rivalry necessarily, but it was just a lot more crossover. And so many people live so in East Tallahassee, Carville area, so many, like, you could have somebody down the street that actually goes to Real Town. So that was a different. When I drove the bus as an assistant coach in the mid 2000s, I would actually pass a Real Town bus on my route.
Yeah.
So there was, kids that could have gone either place.
Right. Are you glad it's coming back? You think it should be back?
I think so. I'm kind of excited about it, and being retired, I can, actually come watch it. So, and like I told Myron, I don't ever remember anything on the field being a problem. There was probably some stuff on the fence line and in the stands,
sure.
But I never remember a problem on the field other than some intense play. I don't remember a lot of unsportsmanlikes or anything along those lines in any game I was a part of as a player or a coach in that rival. But I know there are a lot of things that stem in the communities that are closer to home to some people than they are to me. But I think it's a good thing for both schools.
So your last year as a player was which season? 87.
Fall of 86.
The 86, you graduated in 87. Mm-hmm. So you played 84, 85, 86, I guess, and saw the first three games on the field.
Yep.
And then you come back after your college and you get a job here at Tallahassee, Coach Woody Weaver in the early 90s. So talk about that opportunity to come back home again.
I was actually telling my wife about this. I was working third shift of a little place right over here connected in the Neptune, and Rob Johnson called my mom and got my number, and he said, "Look, we got a position, it doesn't pay a lot, teacher's aide, blah, blah, blah. I said, I'll take it.
Third shift. You're thinking, hallelujah. Huh?
And I was a teacher's aide for 1 year. Coach Weaver moved over to the third, fourth grade wing to be the administrator while he was still the head coach.
Yeah.
And I basically helped with his classes. Mm-hmm. And then I helped Coach Goodman with junior football and started wrestling. That was my first year in coaching wrestling. So that was fall of 92, I think. So,
yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about the wrestling, too, because you really are the guy that stemmed that start to success. I mean, let's do that now, because, I mean, you kind of get wrestling going. We had a wrestling program, but it really started to flourish during your time as a young coach there.
I think it actually started in 85. But somebody asked, I think it was Coach Dollar asked me one time, why is wrestling so successful here? And I think the biggest thing is since 92, when I came to 2020, there have been two coaches, me and Coach Mask. And, parents know what they're getting. And it's just a familiarity. And we both relate well with kids. We can recruit. So, I think that's the biggest thing, and that's a big key to anything. Just like Myron asked me about Real Town Football, they've had three coaches,
exactly,
ever,
right?
And that's why they're
pretty
successful.
Much, yeah. Those guys have been there between them all those years. Yeah.
I think that has a big thing to do, and like Coach Battles is probably. I was thinking about this the other day. I'm changing gears a little bit.
Right.
Coach Battles is probably the second longest tenured coach in Tallahassee history.
It's true.
Behind O'Brien.
That's right.
So
passed actually Ronnie Baines, who had been about eight, and Woody, they were both right there together, and now he will begin, I think, his ninth season. Coach, and nobody's done that. And that's been a thing. It's just been a lot of turnover over the years here at his football program.
And that's huge, because, now people are established with him, and they know him, know his program, know what to expect, and his kids have grown up with these kids. So it's makes a big difference.
What about the football and the wrestling combined, basically how they've helped each other? Because there's been so many of those wrestlers that have been individual state champions, part of a really good team that went very far, that play football as well. They kind of go hand in hand, don't they?
They do. And when you get the bigger, more athletic kids out for wrestling, and they in turn makes them better football players, especially defensively. They're so good with their hands. They're such good tacklers, because – a double leg takedown in wrestling is basically a tackle in football. And Chris Adams, for example, TC, Reese Murphy, they were all really good tacklers. I know Reese didn't play a lot of football, but Chris and TC were great defensive players, made a lot of tackles. So that carries over a lot, just the ability to use their hands in the one-on-one battles in football.
When you joined the staff, what was your first job with Coach Weaver's staff as far as assistant?
I was an assistant coach on the junior high, and Coach Goodman was the head coach. And I basically did the offensive line and defense, and Coach Goodman did the offense and coached the skill guys. And Keith Stewart also came on the same time we did, and he coached linebackers and stuff. So
You got to coach, you came in as a player, I guess, at the end of, the 84 year.
I went through spring training with Coach Rice, and then he, as summer weight started, he called us in, and that told us he was moving to Muscle Shoals. And then Coach McCord came in midsummer. I think we did, some of the assistants handled weights and stuff for a few weeks, and then Coach McCord came in and took over after that. And he was there 1 year. Coach McCord was here 1 year, and then Coach Beck came in for 2 years.
Did you do any baseball?
I played baseball ninth grade, Babe Ruth, and then ninth grade, and then I didn't play after that.
I was trying to make the connection, because if so, you with Coach Baines, Coach Rice, Coach McCord, back to, Beck and Weaver, and you've pretty much been connected to every coach in some way.
Right.
All this time, basically, since the early 80s, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
As a player or a coach.
And then coached with Mark Baines. So, and coached his son, Brandon. So, I've been connected and stayed in contact. I've still lived here even after I left Tallahassee as coach. So, I've been in contact.
No doubt. Still kind of you're Tallahassee Tiger. I know you coached at Elmore County, but you did graduate from here, and I guess you never get that out of your blood, do you?
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Now, when I did coach against Tallahassee, wrestling or football, that was definitely in I definitely wanted to win, sure. But I, you know, there's never any hatred there. Me and Coach Mask still real good friends and still miss him.
And you guys, when you were together, basically were co-head coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something you just don't see.
That's hard to make it work, but we did. I mean, we have different personalities. You know, we coach a little different, but when it came to decision time, we were always ended up on the same page. And, you know, he's a great recruiter, and the kids love him. And I recruit a little different, and most kids love me. So, but we had a lot of fun. It's good times.
Yeah, I wanted to look at some of these great seasons before you became the head coach. In 99 comes to mind, right, as you were an assistant.
Sure.
And then if you want to go back, I know you were kind of a student back when we were making the run and a player in the early 80s, like 83 or 84. And you right. think about some of Woody's good, really strong teams right before you got here in the early 90s. I mean, any of those teams stand out as like, boy, this was the best team we ever had? Because we've had that debate over and over again,
right,
as far as football goes.
Of course, I'm going to lean toward 99 with that crew, being a part of that crew. I had some of those guys in middle school and then end up coaching them in high school with Coach Rose. And I think I've told you this before, with Trey on here, we hear a lot about the 84 season, went to the semis, turned it on once the playoffs started, had a great, great offense. The team before that probably don't get mentioned enough.
Mm-hmm.
First time to make the playoffs with Rhett, Richard Rogers, Catman. That crew was that they were something, and they probably don't get mentioned enough. I would say they would be one of the better ones that could be mentioned in that. And then Coach Weaver's team that lost to Hanley on the field goal. I didn't get to see them much because I was actually coaching at Goshen then, but that was a. That had a lot of talent on that team. Jonathan Rivers, Perez Hicks, Bernard Hutchinson, and James Wallace.
Was the Goshen job that you took before Tallahassee, was that the first job you had out of college?
I got paid just a coaching supplement. I was still in college.
Yeah.
And funny twist to that, Coach Franklin, the head coach at Hopeful, was our quarterback at Goshen then. So,
Yeah, we know of him, yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go to after 99, the season ends, Coach Rose decides to leave for North Jackson. You become the head coach. Talk right. about that process and how that became your job.
It was funny. Coach Rose called me and told me, of course, he had already talked to the principals, and he said, look, Coach, I want you to have this. I'm not going to have a say in it, but they're going to probably wait to after spring training. So basically I did spring training with I guess like an on-the-job training, on-the-job interview.
Yeah.
And then they made the decision a couple of weeks after spring training. And I remember telling the kids, Brad Peters and that crew that would be seniors, I said, hey, just pray that, you know, whatever's best decision's made, is made. And I'm going to be here regardless. So it worked out, and I had an opportunity, and it was a good crew coming back, but we had lost a lot of talent too. And Brad and Clint Mann and Cody Goodman were, you know, the leaders on that team. And we had our ups and downs. We had some big wins that season, but we had some really close and sometimes bad losses. I remember that one season, the one that haunts me the most, and Coach Dean and I talk about it because Coach Dean did a lot of the play calling for me that year, the Hanley game.
I thought you were going to go there. Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah,
we probably had 350 yards rushing, and mm-hmm. inside the 10 or inside the 20 or 10 four times, and only had 14. Ended tied 14-14. Fumbled inside the one, one time, and that was probably the most devastating loss to me as a head coach in those 2 years and my year as the interim head coach. That one haunted me the most because we had a chance to make the playoffs after that, but that game ended up basically costing us playoffs. We missed a field goal to end regulation, tied 14-14. We missed a little chip shot field goal that would have won it. And I don't remember the head coach's name there. It was a guy from – he was the coach right before Coach Battle's dad was the coach.
James Holly.
And he he avoided everybody and came up to me because he knew I was a young coach, and he said, "Coach, I just want you to know y'all deserve to win this game." And you know that I remember that feeling, and that was a tough loss. But then we came back and beat St. James and beat Trinity, who were ranked at the time. So
they were really good then. Those were two huge wins and really dominated St. James. That might have been the best game the team had played all season.
I was thinking about it, and probably just with Myron interviewing me, because Myron was a senior on that team, and the fact that you called and we were going to talk about this, that was probably my favorite win with that team and as a head coach, because I remember that was homecoming. And Dan Wilbanks, John Denton, and some of that crew came and spoke to the team after the pep rally. And then after the game, four or five of those guys met us at the fence coming in the locker room, so excited. Because Dan's had his first game he had been to in years. And it was just exciting to me because I remember being a kid watching Dan and them play, and then here they're coming and celebrating with the team. So that was a fun game.
I remember leaving that night and seeing the St. James guys just shaking their hands. I mean, we really just dominated them pretty good in that game. You go 5-5 first year. As you said, it kind of the loss to Hanley cost us a playoff spot. The next year, same thing, 5-5 record, but you did make the playoffs that year. Talk about the 2001 season.
That's the second year?
Yes.
We were probably not as talented that year. But we really were 4-1 at the mid part of the season, and we had a real good running back with Kelvin. Britt Clayton had moved over to play quarterback, and Britt got hurt later in that year, and it was not a good time for him to be hurt. 4-1, he got hurt after the Realtown game. But starting that Realtown game, we played like four consecutive ranked teams, and it showed too. I mean, we took some really bad losses. The year before, we had some close losses, but that year, Realtown beat us bad, Hanley beat us bad. They were ranked, and Trinity was really good that year and beat us pretty good. And we end up finishing the year with a win over Lynette, who was also ranked in 3A.
And I don't know that we have played Lynette since. Seems like that was right at the end of that run there.
I don't think we had, because the year before we played them. Last game of the year, and we had lost to them, and then we beat them that year to propel us into the playoffs. It was not a region game, but to make us 5-5 going in, and we had the long trip to UMS, and that didn't end well.
I think they ended up winning the state championship that year too.
They did. They had a receiver that went to Ole Miss. He returned a punt for a touchdown against us, and they were really good.
And they did win it all. One of the big wins was Central Haneville. It was a last-second kick to win it. And the kid's name was Nico Wirth.
Nico
I remember
Wirth.
That kicked the field goal. He was an exchange student, right?
Yep, it was. And he had never been a part of football. And I think he might have been living with one of our former players' parents, and they brought him up and introduced him to us, and he just started kicking extra points for us. But he did. He ended up kicking a field goal late in that game. It wasn't like with time running out, but it's in the fourth quarter. Might have been tied at that time.
Yeah, but won it 17-14.
And that was a huge for him. And Haneville's never really one of those really good teams, but they just had a lot of speed. And other than Kelvin, we did not have a lot of speed on that team. So
Eric Cagle was your first team all state player that year. And we all know how good he was.
Right.
Obviously played as a youngster when I think it was ninth grade.
He played in the 99 team.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a very good wrestler at that.
And he was a state championship wrestler on top of that. Yeah.
Yes.
Should have been three-time champion in wrestling. He was two. He won his junior, senior year. His sophomore year, he lost in double overtime in the semifinals. And then very controversial. We talk about it every time we get together. But he, funny story with that, he lost to Harold Wisdom, who went to Jack State, I think, to play linebacker. And Harold Wisdom's son wrestled this year. I ran into Harold. And I said, "Did you wrestle for, who was it? I can't remember who it was. Decatur? No, Demopolis.
One of the D's
up there, Deschler. There you go. And his son was wrestling for Deschler this year. So
What does it you think about when you see a guy that you coach now have a kid that's you coaching against?
And as a matter of fact, that kid was a senior too. That tells you. And I said, are you Harold Wisdom? And he said, yeah. And I started talking to him, told him I was from Tallahassee. He said, you coached Eric Cagle.
He couldn't forget.
So I made a picture with him and sent it to Cagle, and I told Cagle, I said, this was your biggest nemesis, because he beat Cagle for the state championship.
That's funny.
Cagle's sophomore year. So
it's funny. You talk about something, the one they didn't win when he won a couple of them. Yeah, that's something. After that, you ended up going to, you said Oak Mountain as an assistant, right?
As an assistant, actually, I took the eighth grade team, and I helped with high school wrestling a little bit. But that team, my first year in that eighth grade team, was so talented. I mean, we ended up going 8-0, winning the metro region or whatever. But I was thinking about them earlier, knowing I was coming in here. Two of those guys, Ryan Pugh is the offensive coordinator at Troy, and Nick Anderson is a special team coach at Troy. Both of them played on that same eighth grade team. And another lineman that played alongside Ryan is the offensive line coach at Southeast Louisiana. So that just tells you what kind of, not only what kind of talent, but what kind of football knowledge they had. You know, and of course, Ryan's dad was the head coach at Oak Mountain. So they all grew up knowing him, and it was a fun group.
You know, you coached up there for about
4 years,
and you had an opportunity to come back. Talk about that chance that came back with Coach Lindsay, the guy that followed you as the head coach.
Dr. Varner actually called me one time and said, we're going to have an opening in the middle school. And he said he had talked to Lindsay, and Coach Lindsay and I actually had spoken a couple of times. And it was an opportunity for me to come back. Coach Lindsay needed a line coach, and I came back and coach offensive line, and it was actually DeMond's senior year when I came back. So that was
a pretty good team.
It was good team. It was first year we had ever been 5A. Tough, just a really tough schedule to come in, but that group got better as the year went on. And Coach Lindsay and I had talked about, because when I was at Oak Mountain, we started going to the spread stuff, and when I came here, we put DeMond in the shotgun a little bit more, because he was the quarterback all that. I think the years prior he played some running back and quarterback, but that year he was the quarterback, and we put more of the shotgun and the spread running game part of the spread in for him. And that was a fun year.
I'm going to read some of the names that you submitted on some of the best players you coach, but DeMond is on that list. So talk about him as a player. Now obviously, I mean, a lot of times he would get the ball, we knew he was going to do something with it, so he was that good. But you had to use him, right? Because he was the guy.
No doubt. And we put in some misdirection counter stuff out of the quarterback spot that is used a lot now, but back then it was not necessarily a play that was used a lot. And but when you have a player like that, you want the ball in his hands. Mm-hmm. And he was a great punt returner, kickoff returner. Of course, we used him at quarterback. He was a good running back. Would have been a heck of a receiver, but he was, as you saw at Auburn, he was a phenomenal defensive back. And he even did punts, return punts at Auburn, or was it kickoffs? But he did one or the other, but he was really good. And you don't get a player like that very often from here and then go on and succeed like he did at Auburn. And he was one of the best ever come through here probably.
Yeah. Coach Lindsay retires after 5 years. Coach Dollar gets the job. You work with Coach Dollar, and it was some good years there.
Very
so talk
good.
About that.
Very good talent coming through at that time. And Coach Dollar was he was a good hire to kind of get us in the 5A mentality. He's really big in the weight room and defensive oriented. And I remember he and I talking, and he says, I said it. I thought he said it, but he said, we got to think outside the box on offense. He says I said that. I thought he said it, but we had a really good young quarterback to do that with. Trey was coming along. Trey was a good athlete, not the DeMond type running athlete, but a very good athlete and a heck of a passer. Probably the best passer we've had in Tallahassee. And we just kind of built the offense around him, even though we still ran the ball well. Had some good running backs in Coach Dollar's time. And probably some underrated teams during Coach Dollar's era. We had some really good football teams.
His last year, I know that was one of those years you kind of had to take the team by the reins yourself a good bit, and we ended up going 9-2. So talk about that 2010 season when we talk about some of the best teams. That was really one of the best teams that Tennessee's had.
Really good, and because of Trey, we were talked a lot about offensively because we averaged 28, 29 a game, but we had some really good defensive players too with Lucas Self and Chris Adams and T.C. Robinson and Darius Williams. We had some good ones on defense. The Parker, Brent Parker's son, Caleb Parker.
Yeah,
we had not dominating 280-pound size, but with some 215-pound linebackers that you don't see a lot at Tallahassee, and we were very physical. Won some big games at Troy. We had a big win there, and to me, in that crew over those years, the funnest win was when we beat Valley, when Trey passed for 250 yards, and we got them to jump off sides with about a minute left, and they had no timeouts left, and their linebacker went crazy, got a penalty. But
remember that?
That was one of the funnest wins. And
Valley was part of a couple of big wins there.
No doubt. The win the year before over there in overtime was a huge win.
Yep.
Also the year before when we kicked a field goal, 40-yard field goal to beat Eufaula, who was ranked at that time. They were ranked really because of what they had done the years prior. But to then, I think they were ranked number one, and they came in and we beat them at here on a field goal by Hunter Mullins.
Right.
That was a huge win during Coach Dollar's time. It was a fun time.
One of the tough losses, though, came to Eufaula. We lost on an extra point miss at the end after an incredible drive, one of the best two-minute drives I've seen.
It could have been another 10-0 season.
It would have been 10-0 if you had not.
That was the only loss of the season.
14-13.
We struggled the whole game trying to run the ball early in the year. And, you know, and Coach Dollar had told me in the summer, he said, now, we don't have Mike Smith. We don't have the big running back. He said, we're going to have to throw it 20 times a game. And I looked at him, and I'm like, Coach, you're crazy.
We never
because he was not a – Coach Dollar was not a throw-it-around type guy either. But we beat Ben Russell to start that year, and we had to throw it to move it on them because they were so big. And then we tried to run it against Eufaula to keep it away from them. And they had a really good option quarterback, and we just – weren't successful, and we had the chance right at the end of the game, 14-7. And like you said, it's one of the classic drives I've ever been a part of.
It was a 92-yard drive. I remember that because Trey was quarterback.
And I want to say no timeouts.
Yeah, he didn't have – I don't know what he had, but he did. He moved it down the field in like a minute. But one of the things I remember about that drive is I think on the very first play, it took a sack on the one-yard line. We got
to
go 99
back
yards.
To the one, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But we did drive at the length of the field and scored, and I don't know if it
Couple
was some indecision
of
whether we go for two or kick an extra point, but we
it
ended
was,
up trying the point after.
It was we didn't have a timeout to take to decide that, and I remember Coach Dollar looking at us and do we want to go for two? We didn't really say, and then Chris Adams, who was the kicker, was standing over there with us, like waiting for us to make the call, and Davis was the holder, and Davis ended up taking the kick. So
yeah, that's one of those where you almost take a penalty.
Yeah,
and Coach Dollar
said he said if I had it to do over with, I would have just taken the 5-yard penalty and said let everybody settle down and taken the kick. So, but yeah. I mean, so climactic of a drive, and then miss that extra point.
It was something. You talk about the roller coaster of emotions there, and you know that alone. Was such a huge, you don't really think about the time, the loss.
Right.
But it made us the number two seed. So
right.
What does that mean? Well, we still are number two seed, but we play a number three seed of all what are the chances of being Spanish Ford, who ends up going on to win the state championship.
And why were they number three seed? Because they had to hold the quarterback out the first two games of the year, and they lost.
So you played a number one essentially in the first round.
And I talked to that coach who, I think he had been at Greenville, but we knew each other. And he came to Oak Mountain Park Crossing to do a clinic when he was at South Alabama. He went to South Alabama to be receiver coach. And I introduced myself, and he said, Coach, I know who you are. You were one of the coaches at Tallahassee when we came up and played y'all. And he said, Coach, I'm not just saying this because you're here, but we knew if we could beat y'all, we'd win the state championship. And I said, really? And he said, I didn't know if we could stop y'all because y'all's quarterback was so scary. And we really did have some really good receivers too. Dijon was just a sophomore, and we had Davis was a heck of a receiver.
He was.
And, you know, and we had some big linebackers on defense too. And he said, y'all the only team that scored 20 points on us all year.
Yeah, and they pretty much rolled through the playoffs after that. That was the first round. Could have been almost like a state championship game in the first round.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, it was a defeat for us, and they went on to win it all. Trey Cochran-Gill, of course, was all-state player. He was all-state on defense. Defensive back, mm-hmm. and then first team, and then T.C. Robinson as well as a linebacker was all-state that year.
Right. And but I think, really, and y'all probably agree with if ifs and buts, but if Trey would have been 3 inches taller, he could have been easily a college quarterback.
He was as good as high school quarterback as you'll see with his arm. Yeah, that's true. No, and obviously still in the minor leagues in baseball now, an incredible athlete. Next year, they have a change. Coach Dollar is out at that point, and there's an opening, and they did some interviews, and then they decide to come to you. You're a guy that's been the coach before. You're not the first guy that's coached once and come back and been the head coach. That's happened a few times here at Tallahassee. So kind of tell us how that came about.
I was actually on the committee
because
Coach Dr. Jeffers came to me. He said, are you interested in applying? And I said, no. And he said, well, will you be on the committee? And I said, sure, because I'd been an AD. I'd been a head coach. And there was just, I guess because we had been so successful, and why are you hiring a coach when, you know, you've had success? It's just, and that time of year, too, it's late in the spring. And we just didn't have a lot of really good applicants, and the one that we felt like would be a good choice, I don't know if I should even say, but Foshi was probably the best choice, and he ended up dropping out.
Jeff Foshi was at Stanhope Elmore at the time,
because he actually called me, because we knew each other, and I didn't contact him because I was on the committee, but he called me, and we talked two or three different times, and he pulled out before we even interviewed. So and he was probably out of the five we interviewed, and we ended up not interviewing him. We only had one other that had a winning record as a coach. So it was, we went to meet to make a decision, and Coach Dr. Jeffers asked me to excuse myself from the meeting, and then he came back to me personally later and said the committee talked and said we would like to do this again next year, and would you do this for 1 year? And that's kind of how that ended up.
And you knew it was a 1 year deal, and that was it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said, now you're welcome to apply. And I did. But I pretty much knew from the beginning that they wanted me to kind of just get us through that little stint.
And this is similar to what Coach Weaver did. Because he retired. Then he came back when they asked him to and got one season.
He got us cut through and got – that's when Mark Rose came in. And I got us through that year, and that's when Battles came in, and it's been a great hire.
Yeah, it's worked out both times, I guess.
Yeah, so it's and Battles asked me to stay on and coach D-line, but I'd been with that crew, and I just decided to step back and do junior high, let him have his, but I still see Coach Battles a lot and think a lot of him. He's a great coach. It's been a really good hire.
In some way, I guess, since you were a player in school – to now being retired, I guess.
Right.
You've seen like 12 different administrations, including your own there.
Right.
That's a lot of changes in about 30 plus years now, I guess.
It is. And that's why I think the hire of Coach Battles was so big, because he's here and he's staying. Because that just having that is big. And I think that the 1 year that I was the interim, I think that kind of helped that crew, because Coach Mask and myself and Coach Eason and Coach Worley and Waters, we had all been there, and us taking that group for 1 year kind of got us through and ready for a change. And it was that was a tough year being in 5A after losing Trey and all them, but you know, we made it to playoffs, won the region games we should have, and then we get a 10-0 Greenville team to start. Really a pretty good game. We had turnover we were plagued with turnovers, but we
scored some points. I know, but they scored a bunch too. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they were a good team.
That was a good one.
Looking back, this is something that you kind of just jotted down, and I know you'll want to preface this with the fact that you don't want to leave anybody out, but I'm sure you know how that goes. But we appreciate you throwing some of these names out here. Here are they. Some of the best that you say you've coached in your career at Tannelsee: Chris Stice, Jake Baker, Shane Mosley, Ryan Johnson, Ron Taylor. These are the linemen. Some of the tight ends: Andrew Bianchi and Jared Blair. Wide receivers: Dijon Pascal, Tyler Grant. Running back: Justin Williams and Brandon Baines coming to mind. Quarterback: Trey Cochran-Gill. You talked a lot about him. Athletes: Mike Smith and Herman McKenzie. On the defensive side on the line: Eric Cagle, Johnny Hammock, Bobby Cagle, and Dan Benson. Linebackers: Ryan Griffin, Brad Peters, T.C. Robinson, and Justin Johns. And the defensive backs: Carl Stewart, Derek Ansley, Damon Washington, and Hunter Mullins. The kicker: Nick Mullins. Interesting punter and kicker of the Mullins boys. And you said, I'm sure, left some off, but these are some that just came to mind from 1993 till 14 as you were back as a coach with the program. And Jake Baker, you said you coached in JV, but always thought he was one of the best. I think we could win a lot of games if we brought those guys back today. What do you think?
No doubt.
Yeah, it's a pretty good crew right there.
When Mike Smith is listed as your athlete's backup running back, that's a pretty good backfield too.
Yeah, there's have been some good ones there for sure. You've been a great part of all of it. We appreciate your time today and enjoy the retirement. You're welcome to come down here now that you don't have anything else to do but sell trailers, right? Or go over there and work with Mobile Home Park.
Daphne Davis, thanks for the biscuits.
Absolutely.
Well, you don't want to leave her out. She picked up the tab today. Thank you, Daphne.
Yes.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank
appreciate
you. Enjoyed it.
It's always fun to talk and always appreciate your input on things. Coach Jared Jones with us here on the Wake Up Call. More coming up on WTLS.